Chapter 5. They're not the first back to base, probably because they were near the opposite end of the island. So when Wei Ying peeks into the winner's room, sees Huaisang first, tired and disheveled in the Solo Omega box. It's a transparent box so that they can still see and hear everything going on, air-conditioned and air-filtered. But it is nevertheless a box because all the Solo Omega winners are still in heat. Wei Ying grins and raises a fist pump at him. Past him are the couple winners, and he takes a moment to parse what he's seeing. Nia Mingtue with Mo Xuan Yu. Huh, well, that's unexpected. Xuan Yu doesn't look particularly terrified or traumatized, though, and even raises a hand to wave at him. Wei Ying's grin grows wider. Good for him. He limps into the room. The endorphins of the second nodding are starting to wear off now, and Wei Ying's body is really starting to protest the amount of abuse he's put it through in the past week. And he sees it, the moment Huaisang's eyes widen as Wei Ying walks past the box. It's like a domino effect, the surprise jumping from Huaisang to Xuan Yu. It takes Xuan Yu a moment longer, but he can smell Wei Ying from where he is. He can smell that Wei Ying's heat has broken. Hey, he says, dazed, as Wei Ying walks past to join him on the little marked podium in the couple winners section. Even Nia Mingchua's eyebrows are raised. Lan Chan has a sense of dramatic timing that Wei Ying wouldn't have expected from him, as he chooses that moment to sweep in behind Wei Ying, following him up to stand on the step behind his. His hand is light, but he rests the breadth of his palm across the back of Wei Ying's neck, his fingers curled around the side in the most possessive gesture Wei Ying has seen from him yet. His stomach swoops. It feels right.
Mingchue ge, says Lan Chan, inclining his head. Xuan Yu, congratulations.
You too, I gather.
Crow's feet of laughter gather at Mingchue's eyes. Yeah, Xuan Yu's gonna be okay.
Thank you. Do you happen to know what happened to my brother?
A grimace passes over Mingchue's face, long enough that Wei Ying starts to feel a stab of alarm before he speaks.
He won, I think, unless something happened in the last few hours.
Lan Chan waits, but whatever it is that has Mingchue unhappy, he's obviously not going to say anything about it. That's fair. They're still being filmed. Wei Ying has learned that while he's not one to mince his words, he's not tactless. Well, he's sure he'll find out later, when he watches the highlights of everyone else's stream. The time for the next winners to arrive stretches, the long wait time presumably meaning that whoever has arrived has been unceremoniously dumped in the loser's lounge. Despite the terrible name, it actually looks way more comfortable than the winner's room, because they get to just collapse in a heap on a giant sofa and cry their commiserations and get actual medical attention. Lan Qichun is the next to arrive, which immediately answers Lan Chan's question. The Omega he has in tow is Meng Yao, and when Wei Ying slides his eyes over to Mingchue, he has a badly concealed scowl on his face. Huh. So something definitely happened there then. It doesn't stop Lan Qichun from clapping him on the arm as he walks past, or Nia Mingchue clasping his hand in return. He gets to see Lan Qichun walk past Mingchue and Xuan Yu to see Wei Ying. There's a little, oh, of mild surprise to see Wei Ying there, and then a wider, oh, moment when he realizes it's Lan Chan stood behind him. Congratulations, says Wei Ying, as neutrally pleasant as he can, because he should probably start off on the right foot for a potential in-law, and leans just a little into Lan Chan's side. Lan Chan sways back towards him, like they're a set of matching magnets.
Thank you, says Lan Qichun,
still visibly surprised. It's like Lan Chan inherited all of the family's poker face capabilities, and Lan Qichun not at all.
And you, if
That is, congratulations are the right sentiment. Thanks, says Wei Yang with a grin. He's enjoying the prolonged sensation of seeing everyone's reactions at him pairing up at long last. At the same time, Lan Chan says, sales of the Chen Qun bag are up by 42% since the beginning of the finale. There's a moment of silence, and then Lan Xichen says, with poorly concealed amusement, that's great. Well done, Wangji. And then he carries on so that he and Meng Yao are standing on their own little podium. Wei Yang turns to Lan Chan and stares at the side of his face. It's a pretty great profile to stare at. Lan Chan, he says, eventually, as quietly as he can manage. There are only regular cameras here, no drones, and they're not mic'd up yet. Do you actually have a killer sense of humor? I thought maybe last time had been a fluke.
My brother thinks I'm very funny, says Lan Chan,
which delightfully tells Wei Ying nothing at all. It's distressing how little time they get to spend together after they're all coupled up. After the winner's segment has been filmed, of them all trooping off the helicopter and into the room, the producer says, cut, and the room dissolves back into a seamless production of a TV show again. It's jarring, after essentially live streaming for a couple of weeks, to go back to staged shots and camera angles and, can you do that again with more emotion? Requests. They get ushered off the set by a veritable army of crew members, checked over by medical staff, given a whole bunch of antibiotics and jabs for any nasty infections they might have picked up having outdoor sex and being bled on by other people for 2 weeks, and then bundled into a set of clothes and shown into the shower. After the shower, Wei Yang looks around for Lan Chan, who is presumably nearby doing much of the same thing. But another crew member directs him into a small interview room instead. He's done this as a solo winner, and he hadn't minded at all, but he hadn't considered how terribly annoying it would be to be immediately separated and herded along as part of a couple. Wei Wuxian, congratulations! A winner for the fourth season in a row! The interviewer is new. They tend to be for this segment. Some actual celebrity host with presumably a busy schedule who can only fly in to do the glamorous bits. Wei Wuxian recognizes her from daytime TV. Fourth and probably last, says Wei Ying demurely. Or a vague attempt at demureness, anyway. The point is that people can tell it's fake. He bats his eyelashes at the camera. Such a plot twist, says Cece, playing into it. I can see that's a real bite as well, so not just a knot, eh? Well, I think if you're gonna do it, you might as well go all the way, and there's no one I would have done it with apart from Lan Wangji. I think you've moved past the point of calling him by his stage name, haven't you? She's good. Pointed questions that get to the topics that people are likely discussing on the internet, getting material to fuel the conversation. Yeah, but that's just for his ears only, Wei Ying winks. Like 3 million or however many people watching live haven't already seen him calling him Lan Chan. In retrospect, it's good that they got separated this early. It's always a bit of a whiplash for Wei Ying to slide into his media personality. He's good at it, charming and effusive and a little bit flirty. But it's not really what he's like with Lan Chan, he realizes. They go for a bit longer, long enough that sitting on the high stool is starting to get painful for someone whose ass got blown out earlier that day. He hides it well, he thinks, but he's still grateful when she leans in and says, now, the final question. You know what it's going to be. You've never been in this position before, so think carefully. Wei Ying nods. He does know what it's going to be. As a solo winner, he takes home the full prize money for each of the winners. As part of a couple, they get a choice. The prize money, Are you going to steal it or share it? If both of you choose to share it, all's good in love and war. You each get half the amount. If only one of you chooses to steal it, that person gets the full amount and the other person gets nothing. If, however, both of you choose to steal it, then neither of you get anything at all. Zilch, nada, a big fat zero. What's your choice gonna be? In the entire history of the show, none of the couple winners have stolen the money. The bad press alone would have tanked whatever sponsorships, engagements, etc., etc. The extra half of the money would have canceled out. Everyone has, at least on camera, pretended to actually like the person they nodded with, even if they didn't last afterwards. Wei Ying tries to look like he's thinking. When he's actually thinking, he mostly looks like he's sleeping, so he tries not to do that on camera. He waits. The show doesn't even have to build in a suspenseful pause. He's doing it himself. And then he says, enunciating very clearly, "I'm stealing." She clutches her chest like she's been shot and gasps, a long, drawn-out affair that lasts a full 3 seconds longer than it should. Wei Ying appreciates her sense of drama. It really matches his own. "No!" "Yep," he confirms, popping the pee. "I'm taking it all." Cece leans forward and looks at him over her little horn-rimmed glasses. "That's a lot of confidence, Wei Wuxian. What if your dear Lan Wangji also chose to steal it?" Wei Ying shakes his head. "He wouldn't. He's way too nice for that." "And you don't feel bad about taking his half then?" "He is rich. He doesn't need it. I, on the other hand, just became forcibly disengaged from my Career Omega career path. I'm going to need all the funds I can get." He tosses his head with a sniff. "All right, then. For the first time in hot or not history, we have a steal!" She flings her hands into the air and a bunch of poppers go off, spraying them in glittery bits of confetti. Wei Ying jumps, laughing as he's caught off guard. Have the production crew had these lying around for 10 years, waiting for someone to finally steal? He asks, fishing confetti out of his hair. He hadn't even noticed the little fuckers. "Almost definitely," she informs him, and pops one last one into his face. "Now, let's see what happened with your partner." They cut there, which feels almost anticlimactic. "I have to go interview with Lan Wangji now. I'm so excited," she informs him as she hops off her stool. The crew indicates that Wei Ying needs to wait in here while that happens, since she'll be coming back to film his reaction afterwards. "Don't forget to act surprised," she says. "I won't," promises Wei Ying. She laughs off camera as she wiggles her fingers in farewell. "You're very good at this, Wei Wuxian. I hope we get to work together again." At least Wei Ying doesn't have to sit on the stool if he's just waiting for Cece to come back. Hopefully Lan Chan's interview will be quick, since he's the concise type. He slides down the wall to sit down opposite the cameraman and stretches his legs out with a sigh. "You really stealing, man?" The guy, Ouyang Zichen, if Wei Ying remembers correctly. He'd been an intern last year, and it looks like he impressed enough to land it as a full-time gig. Asks curiously, unwrapping a cereal bar of some sort. Wei Ying is forcibly reminded that he hasn't eaten in a hot while. "Yeah, I mean, the real answer is that it doesn't matter, right? Not if you plan on staying together. If one of you steals and you're a real couple, the money is kind of both yours anyway." Wei Ying drops the media persona. "You don't happen to have another cereal bar, do you?" Zichen fishes one out from his pocket. "Yeah, it's been in my jeans for like 10 hours, though. If you don't mind." "That's what she said," murmurs Wei Ying absently, peeling it apart and devouring it in two bites. Zichen snickers. "Thanks. Come hit me up when your contract for this season's up, if you don't have another gig lined up. I feel bad for stealing your food when I'm literally about to win a huge amount of money." "You got a job going?" asks Zichin skeptically. Didn't you just say that you're now unemployed? I'm marrying rich. I'm sure there's something, says Wei Ying with a shrug. Again, also why the prize money doesn't really matter. Plus, I'm an influencer. I always need video staff.
Must be nice, says Zichin wistfully. But yeah, thanks.
The interviewer arrives back at that point, which, wow, was brief even by Lan Chan's standards. And Wei Ying pushes himself back up the wall. His ass is throbbing even looking too hard at the barstool thing.
Not to, like, TMI, says Wei Ying,
which is a ridiculous thing to say given he has all of his clothes on right now. But can I get a cushion or something? My ass is battered.
Someone on crew bustles around to find him something. Eventually, one of the sofa throws folded up into a little square pad that Wei Ying can perch on. As Zichin busies himself doing nothing with the camera to hide his laughter.
There's a screen set up just under the camera that they swivel to look at, with the footage just captured from Lan Chan's interview. They run through much of the same line of questioning that Wei Ying did, and Wei Ying watches him with interest. He'd seen Lan Chan's opening interview before the show started. He'd watched all of them for research purposes. And he remembers Lan Chan being professional and articulate, but largely devoid of personality. It's always interesting to go back and see how his opinions of people change once he's met them in person, how he can spot little tics or habits they do in front of the camera, and be able to interpret them differently with context. But Lan Chan is much the same as his opening interview. Like how Wei Ying has a media personality that's him, but a little more of him. It appears Lan Chan's media personality is him, but a little less of him. Professional, eloquent, thoughtful, and concise. Terribly, terribly concise. Wei Ying sees the company CEO in that persona. He hadn't quite been able to imagine Lan Chan running a company before. He's been distracted, he thinks, by musing over Lan Chan's media persona. He lost the answer to a number of questions, but the important bit is coming up. Zichin moves his body camera for a better angle of Wei Ying's face. On screen.
If, however, both of you choose to steal it, then neither of you get anything at all. Nilch, nada, a big fat zero. What's your choice going to be?
Share.
Lan Chan answers immediately. No sense of suspense at all.
Okay, share it is. Are you worried that Wei Wuxian will steal it from you? I spoke to him just now.
Then whether I worry about it or not matters little,
says Lan Chan. Infuriatingly true.
But no, I am not worried.
Let's take a look at what he did.
And then it fades away to a complicated looping Russian doll situation where Lan Chan is watching a recording of Wei Ying's interview while Wei Ying is watching a recording of Lan Chan watching a recording of Wei Ying's interview. They get to the moment where Wei Ying can hear his own voice, tinny and faint over the speakers.
Steal!
Wei Ying watches Lan Chan for a reaction and grins to himself when there isn't one. They pause the video.
You just said you weren't worried,
says the interviewer, fake concern heavy in her voice.
But it looks like you had cause to be.
I am not worried, repeats Lan Chan. Wei Ying deserves the money.
He deserves it?
Yes. There should be a third option. Share, steal, and surrender, perhaps, if you would like to continue the alliteration.
Wei Ying sits back smugly.
Surrender?
Squeals Cece delightedly at this turn of events, before remembering that she's in front of the wrong half of the couple to give her an appropriate response to that.
How chivalrous of you. I'll feed that back to the producers, although I have to admit that it's not likely to be a popular choice.
They pause the video there. Now you don't look surprised at all, says Cece, wagging her finger at Wei Ying. He spreads his hands in a modest shrug. We didn't discuss this segment specifically, but I already knew that Lan Wangji was never here for the money. He was never here for the heat mating either, but Wei Ying glosses over that part. Besides, I'd say he's won the best prize of all, right? Wei Ying loves this interviewer because she sets him right up for it, with her eyes wide and a hand ready to fly to her mouth. Oh, and what's that? Me, of course. They cut the interview there. Week 0.5, the next year. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hot or Not, Behind the Sheets. I'm your host, Wei Wuxian. Thank you for joining me tonight. I've got with me a winner from last year's season of Hot or Not, Nia Hui Song, who's going to give us a bit of a preview as to what to expect in the upcoming few weeks. Hui Song, nice to see you again. Wei Ying moves the mic from his face to Hui Song's and grins at his friend. Wei Ying has done a few sponsored events, started his own streaming projects since last year, but it's his first time acting as a celebrity host of anything. He's wearing a replica of his robes from last year, the red and black ones he was wearing when he got knotted by Lan Chan, just to visually remind viewers who he is if they've forgotten. Hui Song looks good as well. His hair grown out a little longer this year, wearing a tracksuit that somehow looks terribly luxurious as well as comfortable. They're items from his own clothing line, launched this past year off the back of his Hot or Not win with the tagline, "Fashion you could die in." Well, Wei Wuxian found it funny anyway. They've kept in touch, he and Hui Song and Mo Xuan Yu as well. So it's a little odd greeting Hui Song like he's a long-lost friend, rather than someone he sees every other week or so when he's not traveling. But the director asked them to reveal snippets of their familiarity slowly to get the audience hooked. You too, Wega. It's odd to see you on that side of the table. It is odd being on this side of the chair, and they both know it. Everything feels a little different from this angle. It's taking him a moment to adjust to the idea that the cameras are behind him and he's not meant to turn and face them. The whole interviewer gig is weird, actually. He's been given prompts and questions that he has to get through, but he's also been told to feel free to ad-lib and try and get interesting reactions out of the contestants, which is probably what Wei Ying is better at than reading off cue cards. Isn't it just? But I'm glad the show asked me to come back to host some of the interview segments. It's always nice to catch up with old friends. How are you feeling about the upcoming season? It's good. I'm ready to see what new challenges the show comes up with this time. I feel like the staff always come up with something new. Yeah, the fake pregnancy was sure an escalation from the fake baby. Which of the new contestants do you think would be a good partner for that challenge this year? I'm not going to give it away. I've done my research, though, and I've got two or three people in mind. But it would be coupling for the challenge only, I think. They've already talked about this, outside of the interview room. One of the first things they discussed when Hui Song mentioned joining the show again. Oh, you're not looking for a long-term partner? Hui Song looks from Wei Wuxian to the camera. Oh, not at all. I hear this show needs a new career omega after all.
Wei Ying.
The call from the living room is faint, which actually means that it was really loud. Coming! Wei Ying darts from the third floor down the stairs, skidding across the polished hardwood floors, hard enough that his slippers make the most atrocious squealing sound, and half rolls and half falls over the arm of the sofa into Lan Chan's lap. He grins up at Lan Chan. Hello?
Hello.
says Lan Chan bemusedly, looking down at him. Wei Ying rights himself just as the opening shot finishes and the voiceover begins. Tonight, on Hot or Not, we meet our Omega contestants for the first time and get to know their dreams and desires. Some returning faces, some fresh-faced and unaware of the challenges that lie ahead. What's this, Lan Chan? Reality TV? I didn't think you were the type, says Wei Yang, as he turns the volume up.
I rarely indulge,
says Lan Chan in that ever-dry tone of his that Wei Yang has grown to love and appreciate.
But I found out that my favorite celebrity was making a guest appearance.
Pah, says Wei Yang, arranging Lan Chan's arm around his back the way he likes it. Who cares about some celebrity when you've got a nice Omega at home?
There is also an important business matter, adds Lan Chan.
Wei Yang frowns. He hasn't heard about this bit. He doesn't get involved in the everyday of Lan Chan's job, but generally Lan Chan tells him things that are classified under important business matters.
I would like Hui Song to get through to the finale and send him a prototype of the Tianqun bag 2.0 to use, so we will need to vote for him. You are allowed to vote for one contestant every 24 hours.
Ah, Lan Chan, I didn't think you were one for audience participation, Wei Ying laughs. Even after a year, he's often caught out by Lan Chan's knack for understatement. Lan Chan presses a smattering of kisses to Wei Ying's temple, and Wei Ying settles down as the narration begins. Even though it's been over a year since he was last on the show, seeing it move on without him feels like a new chapter in his life. A new, exciting chapter.
Tonight on Hot or Not.
The end. The music used for this podfic is Close to Me by Ellie Goulding, Diplo, and Swa Lee. Also used as some of the scene breaks are the Love Island theme song from the 2020 version of Love Island and Booby Trap by James Newton, which is part of the first Hunger Games movie soundtrack. If you enjoyed this podfic, you can leave feedback, both for me and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening! Reader's notes. So, I noticed something while initially reading this fic that sort of, like, it hit me as odd, but, you know, whatever, didn't say anything. And then it hit me again while I was recording it. And, but again, just, like, I think maybe I meant to make a reader's note, or maybe, like, it just didn't occur to me while I was recording, because I know I recorded this, like, very, very fast. But while beta listening it, I couldn't help myself. So, like, the entire thing is ready to go, and I just have to add a reader's note. So, In chapter 4, I believe, of this podfic, Wei Wuxian seems very confused as to the difference between hypothermia and pneumonia. And this happens when he's in the cave with Lan Wangji, and they both just escaped the forest fire. And Wei Wuxian is already not probably doing great, and then gets hit with like a boatload of water, and the cave isn't that warm. And he passes out, and then is passed out for 3 days. I've been a lifeguard for like over 15 years now. And I live in a northern country, where currently it's been minus 30 for probably about 2 weeks, 30 degrees Celsius negative, by the way. So, we start learning about hypothermia pretty early. I know much less about pneumonia, but okay. So I get that Wei Wuxian wouldn't necessarily know the difference between hypothermia and pneumonia. He seems pretty self-taught at the survival sort of aspects, though I would assume that hypothermia is would be covered in the sort of like survival lessons that the Omegas have access to, though alternately maybe not, because they are in a tropical environment where while it's, you know, not impossible to get hypothermia, it's certainly much less likely. And pneumonia might not be covered at all. But yeah, so just to go over for you, the listener, what the difference is, because, again, understandable for Wei Wuxian to be confused. But as a reader, I just kept flailing at his confusion, and also being kind of confused because this is my line of work, and it didn't make any sense. This is not to say, this is absolutely in no way criticizing the author. I want to be clear about that. And it also didn't like take away any of my enjoyment of the fic. Obviously, I still recorded it. I love it dearly, deeply and dearly. But I just feel like I have to, public service announcement about what the difference is and the effects and how to counteract it. Again, because I live in a northern country and it's the middle of fucking winter here. And so this is something that I deal with a fair amount. The point. So hypothermia is what happens when your body temperature, like when your body gets too cold and when your body can no longer temperature regulate. So it's almost the exact polar opposite of heat stroke, which is what happens when your body gets too warm and can't self-regulate. The part of your, like the bits of your body that actually can tell it what to do to figure out how to warm you up or how to cool you down in the case of heat stroke, just stop working. And in hypothermia, it doesn't, like, hypothermia, it doesn't come on that fast. It can happen fairly quickly and you can get into early stage hypothermia pretty fast. What with Wei Wuxian's core temperature dropping. And I would assume that being in heat would actually help counteract this because his core temperature is already very high.
But so what happens in hypothermia? Like, obviously, you get cold, you start shivering. That's your body trying to warm itself up, generate heat. And as long as you're still shivering, you're probably okay. Get you out of the cold environment, which is what Lan Wangji should have been doing. I'm looking at you, Lan Chan. You've got some... I know you have survival training. You should know this. What they should have done is, instead of letting Wei Wuxian sort of explore the cave, which I guess understandable, they needed to know what was going on. They should have gotten to somewhere dry, and they should have gotten Wei Wuxian out of his wet clothing into something dry. Like, I'm assuming that Lan Wangji did all of this when Wei Wuxian passed out. He got them to a dry cave. He got Wei Wuxian out of his wet clothing and into Wei Wuxian's coat, which was dry or drier. And then you try to get the person warm. So you either start a fire or you, that would be the best. Getting them out of the cold environment entirely is the best idea. So to get outside would be great. And then to just, you know, wrap him in body heat. Sounds hilarious, but very true. Just try to get that person warmed up. Now, the thing that I'm like, so the problem with this whole scenario is that Wei Wuxian talks about coughing up phlegm. That's definitely not a thing that happens with hypothermia. You start slurring, you start acting a little drunk, that sort of thing. Like, Your cognitive abilities go down. You are slowly losing consciousness. That sort of thing. But nowhere in there would you cough up phlegm. It doesn't actually affect your lungs in that way. And the other thing is that if you pass out from hypothermia, entirely possible, especially if you get to the stage where your core temperature is low enough, that you stop shivering, which I have my doubts that Wei Wuxian would get there in a tropical environment in a cave when he's been doused with water, but not like constantly in the water. But hey, I don't know how cold that cave was and how far underground and how cold the water was. No idea. But when you pass out from hypothermia, even if you are at the stage where you have gotten to the point where you're no longer shivering, at which point, to be clear, if you are ever in a situation where you notice something like that, where like someone that you're with is in a state where they have stopped shivering, or if you've noticed that yourself, that's a call your fucking emergency services ASAP. Get an ambulance there because you're boned, basically. You need some hardcore help at that point because your body has absolutely shut down. It's starting to go into cryogenic freeze mode. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are dead, but you need help, like, immediately. So even assuming that Wei Wuxian got to that point, if Lan Wangji, you know, really wrapped him up and everything, like, they could have gotten out of it, but it wouldn't have taken 3 days. Like, it might have taken a couple of hours for him to sort of revive enough to be coherent again. And maybe a day, but like, honestly, 12 hours of Lan Wangji like wrapped around him, warming him up, especially if Lan Wangji got a fire going and raised the temperature quite high in their little cave area, like Wei Wuxian would have woken up. Would he have been, you know, bleary? Sure. Passing out is never good for you. But like, if you were passed out 3 days from hypothermia, you're dead. You're not just passed out from hypothermia. for 3 days unless I have really missed something in my years of Northern Water experience. This is a thing like you, once you've warmed up enough, you'll wake up. And again, not that you might not have other complications from being that cold for that long, but you'll wake up. It's not the sort of thing where your body is so run down that you will continue to be passed out. That being said, pneumonia, as far as I'm aware, it's like a viral or bacterial infection, some sort of infection, specifically sort of the lungs. It would make you cough up phlegm. And as far as I know, it is the sort of thing that would run down your body to have you, you know, barely regain consciousness for like 3 days just to sort of like fight it off. Again, I don't know. I know way less about pneumonia. What I do know about pneumonia is that you don't catch it in like an hour like you could for hypothermia. Like if like hypothermia is relatively fast as all things considered. If you're in the water, if you're in about 0 degree water, so freezing temperatures, how long I just did a whole thing on that. I think it takes, provided like you have a life jacket on, so you're not going to drown. I think it takes something like an hour and a half to like 3 hours for you to actually get to the point of no return. Being in 0 degree water. I mean, obviously, if you don't have a life jacket, that timeline shrinks to something like half an hour or something, because at that point you're not going to have the strength to hold yourself up anymore. At which point you will drown. You won't die from hypothermia. You're not going to survive, but it'll be from drowning, because you don't have the strength to stay up. But as long as you have something to float with you, you're probably good. Jack and Rose, you could have done better. But yeah, so like, even though hypothermia doesn't come on like instantly, it's also like it's also pretty fast comparatively as for things that can like fuck with you. Whereas something like pneumonia, it takes a while to develop. So like I can understand Wei Wuxian's been like it's been like a week and a half of being in the bush. He's probably caught something, but it's probably being burned out because he's in heat. I would assume that being in heat, because you basically have a low-grade fever constantly, would like help with your body to defend against infection or something, probably. So like it's, I guess in theory, with his temperature dropping, the infection could go like, hey, hey, and spread, and then he passes out from hypothermia, and then the infection from pneumonia sort of takes over. But it still seems wild. I'd like to introduce a third thing into this whole thing and say that probably, in my medical opinion, which to be fair doesn't actually mean much, there's a good chance that Wei Wuxian, when doused with that amount of cold water and getting cold so fast, he probably went into shock, which is a whole other thing. And shock can be caused by, like, I mean, basically anything can cause shock. It's your body just kind of going, what the fuck? And temperature differences can absolutely cause shock, and probably from being so overheated, especially if he's running away from a forest fire, like he's already overheated. He's not breathing well. And then there's all the heat from the fire, and then suddenly being, like, slapped with a whole bunch of cold water, I would say, you know, he's in shock, at which point he could pass out pretty fast, and his body, anyway, he's really run down. What I'm saying is that it's, I get why Wei Wuxian is a bit confused, about what is going on, but also, like, yeah, just the fact that he flipped back and forth between pneumonia and hypothermia so often as if he didn't know which was which and what the difference was, and he says it straight up that he doesn't know what the difference is at one point. Again, entirely possible for him as a character. I just really needed to talk about it for a little bit. Oh gosh, this is like 18 minutes long. Anyway, thank you for listening to my, ramblings on cold weather. It's cold. Be careful. Dress warm.